On SEN, questions without notice. For Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Got lots of questions without notice, not just about footy either, about all sorts of things. A lot of sport going on. The NBA draft is on today, 10 o'clock. So our expectations are high, very high in actual fact, that Josh Giddey goes in the top 10. The love for Johnny is outstanding. We'll pass all that on to you. I don't know what part of Italy he's from.
South. Calabria.
South.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the south. You... We've just had some tweet too to say that the 76ers have just knocked back this deal that the Golden State Nuggets put to them. So
what
for
have
Ben
they put
Simmons,
forward?
All sorts of things, unbelievable deal, but they've knocked it back. So no, sorry, the 76ers put the deal to the Golden State Nuggets, and they said no, no cigar.
That's confused me. 76ers are asking the Warriors, or the Nuggets, for Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, number 7 and number 14, and two future first rounds.
That's right.
In a bench. Jeez, I wouldn't have much left.
And hey, you just put me onto this Mac Andrew kid, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm watching the highlights. Goodness me, how tall is he?
Yeah, so a big, tall Sudanese lad who's a next-generation academy kid tied to Melbourne. But if he gets picked in the first 20 picks, then Melbourne can't bid on him.
Right.
So like Jamari Ugohagan last year, he would, you know, they did Adelaide pick him at number one, so then the Bulldogs get the call on him. But that changed as a result of that. But geez, he's on the AFL website. You can have a look at some of his highlights.
Athleticism.
So big, tall Sudanese lad who's got, and the way he handles the footy.
Oh,
it's a bit scary, isn't it?
How old is he? Is he 18, is he?
I think he'll go up pick 21, which the Demons can then match. I've got a question for you. And do the AFL have the right, I'm just trying to see the quote here, to tell AFL clubs how they can train and how they can't train? Because Luke Beveridge had this to say.
The AFL should never be in the business of telling clubs how they can train and how they can't train. Just because one club gets it wrong from a risk management point of view doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that every other club all of a sudden becomes vulnerable.
So that's on the back of the situation with Hawthorn and Lewis, where he was knocked out and doing a boxing training drill. And missed, I think, 3 or 4 weeks in the end for the concussion. So the AFL now said, no, no. I don't think they've banned boxing altogether. They're going to put some protocols
around. That's right. Now, I think they've got the right to say that, that if you're going to have boxing, then don't be sparring, don't be hitting each other in the head, and don't be doing it without headgear. The AFL says they can still train with a boxing coach, provided that a set of recommendations from the AFL be applied. They don't want players sparring, hitting in the head, that sort of stuff. I think that's reasonable. That is a reasonable thing. And most clubs, look, you did boxing when you played. I did boxing.
Not much.
Oh, we did. We had a boxing coach. Nick Nefito did a great job. But we never hit each other in the head. We only did body punching, or we did in the gloves. So I don't understand the rationale behind players actually thumping into each other and hitting each other in the head as part of sparring. It just seems, in this day and age, given what we know about head trauma and that type of thing, it just seems like a ridiculous thing to be doing at training.
Well, if they've got some protocols around it, then fair enough.
Yeah, and you know, like, I don't think the AFL are trying to take control of club training and that type of thing and telling everybody what they should or shouldn't do. But I think given the publicity that surrounded this, the publicity that's been around about CTE and concussion and the damage to players' minds and brains and that type of thing, I think it's a reasonable thing from the AFL to investigate it and then make some recommendations around this, build some framework around what you can and can't do around boxing training. I think that's reasonable.
I agree.
You do agree. All right. Yeah. Charlie Curnow will play this weekend. He's going to line up for the Blues tonight. He'll pair up with Harry Mackay for the first time. This is what are your expectations? He's going to have to be rusty, isn't he?
Well, it depends who you listen to. Yeah, of course he'll be rusty.
Well, the pace of the game, like it's
he'll be blowing in the first 5 minutes, and he'll think to himself, "Am I ever going to be fit enough to play this game again?" That's what happens when you've been out for a long time. But he'll work his way through. I hope he gets through without one issue. That's my only hope for Charlie and for the Blues. And if he gets through without a physical issue, he will have moments in a game tonight that will remind everyone just what a prodigious talent he is. He'll take a mark or he'll do something athletically where the Carlton faithful will go, jeez, if we had him for the last year and a half, we mightn't be in this problem. But him and Harry just team up for it's the 24th time in 124 games.
Mm. You thought they might have brought him into the team as some sort of a sugar hit, but
they haven't done that.
They haven't done that because they've brought in Honey as well. He's the sugar. He's the sugar hit for the Blues this weekend.
You're working up to a joke.
Yes, I was working up to a little joke. Tim, yes, you'll find all sparring is banned. Pad work only. I think that's reasonable though. We didn't do sparring when we boxed at training. We only did sort of pad work and that type of thing. It was only for cardiovascular stuff.
Text message. No boxing at training with gloves and head guard. But you can elbow someone in the head on game day.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Is the hypocrisy of all of that's exactly what we should be talking
about.
How
about you apply your standards to what happens on game day?
Now, there's been five great instances of that this year, and each one of them has only received a financial penalty.
And if you think that's lost on anyone, AFL, that's about the eighth message in about a minute that we've got from our audience who have made the same point. David just comes on, no boxing training's fine, but hitting guys with the elbows okay. That's right. That's what you're opening. That's what we've opened ourselves up to as a code for our mealy-mouthed attitude to elbowing blokes in the head. Hey, Ross Lyon, did you read this? Brett Peake has played in the 2010-11? Drawn grand final and played the next week. Didn't play all that well. He's gone in for his meeting with Ross Lyon and Greg Hutchison, who was the footy manager at the time. And according to Brett, Ross said, for F's sake, has Peakey still got a contract for next year? Tear it up. And while you're at it, Peakey, get out of the room.
He said
he got up and walked out of the room and he reckons it was fair enough, Brett Peake. How would that go down today in today's society?
I don't think you get away with
that. The story got out today.
Yeah, he said he did a podcast, Peakey. I think he said that he understood exactly what Ross Lyon was saying at the time and he agreed with him. And then he contacted Ross Lyon and they sat down, had a cup of coffee.
Ross said, I think I got a bit hard. You want to have a coffee? And Brett goes, no, you didn't. No, I don't really want to have a coffee.
Oh, okay. Well, I misread that.
Yeah, did you ever? Peter's on the road. G'day, Pete. Hello, Peter.
Hello.
Yes, Gary. You're on. You're on the wireless, Pete.
I bloody got on nice and quick. Gary, I just wanted to talk about Ross Lyon's comments about Charlie Curnow. If he's the coach in waiting, he doesn't want to see his Ferrari banged up in the next 4 weeks.
Possibly, but I don't know whether Ross is the coach in waiting. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But I think he's speaking from his own experiences, and that's just his opinion. We don't have to agree with it. I wouldn't have probably played him. That's without knowing all the details of how much training he's done. On the surface, I think it's a bit of a risk. But we had this debate yesterday, and Tim made some really good points, and most of you agreed with him. So I do have everything crossed for Charlie. I hope he gets through fit. Hope he gets through soundly and is fine to go on and play a few more games and then have a big pre-season.
Nick Caulfield has been dropped again, not for the first time this year. We haven't seen a lot of great football from him this year. Looked like he was making all sorts of advancements last year. But where's he at right now? Is it just one of those setbacks that you can have, form or... Because on what we saw last year, he can play. Like, he can play the game, but he just hasn't been able to get back to that same level of consistency in his play this year.
Where do you think his best position is?
Well, I think he got recruited as a midfielder, and I think that's the only thing they haven't tried is putting him in the midfield. Does he not have an engine? Does he not have a tank?
I think this is the issue, is that he was recruited to strengthen the midfield, and he found a niche on the halfback flank, and now it would appear that he doesn't get a game on either front as a halfback or through the midfield, and that would be a little bit concerning. But he's contracted until the end of 2023, so I doubt whether he's a quality, he's a top 10 draft pick, so maybe they'll just have to reschool him, Wisp, and then just say to him, listen, and this is what is happening at this time of year. Now, St Kilda's still very much in the running, so fair enough, but they're sitting down with players and saying, righto, if you want to be a midfielder, then you need to come back you know, at the end of December or whenever they come back from pre-season training and show us that you want to be a midfielder.
Midfield fit, you're saying, don't you?
Well, midfield fit and hungry and banging down the door, and every time there's a training drill on, make sure you're running next to Jack Steele. Every time there's a competitive thing on, you make sure you make your way to the number one midfielder and test yourself and put it out there. So I don't know if Nick Caulfield's that sort of kid, but maybe that's what he's got to start doing.
Oh, Hunter Clark, they recruited him for the midfield as well, and he's played sparingly, and he's back this weekend as well.
He got knocked out, but he did make a bit of a transition, though, didn't he?
He did, but they're similar, those two, in terms of they've never really been able to nail a starting position in the midfield for St Kilda.
I think Hunter Clark might be a touch ahead. I've got a question for you. What does Cale Hooker being dropped mean?
I would think that for him at this stage of his career, and we know that Ben Rutten spoke about this really honestly a couple of weeks ago, about saying, look, he's 50-50 as to whether we're going to offer him another contract. I think they may have moved a little bit on that. But he hasn't been setting the world on fire with his play. The fact that Francis is now available to play, that probably changes that. Maybe I heard them talk about the fact that they've been playing Francis forward and back. Maybe they're going to trial him again as a forward, Francis, this weekend against the Swans.
Okay.
Stewart probably will go to Buddy. So maybe they're still looking at what they can do and, you know, what they've got at their disposal going forward. But I think they're going to probably offer him another year, Cale Hooker. But, you know, when you get into the twilight of your career, Gary, as we all know, and you get dropped, the alarm bells start to go off.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. A good question by me.
Well, you're patting yourself on the back there with your question.
I asked the question. I forgot that. Isaac Rankin's been dropped. Now, this is a kid who I commentated his first game, and like the rest of the footy world, just went, wow. He
over the top he went, I thought.
Maybe. He kicked three, I think, and every time he went near it, he was just dangerous. He hadn't looked anything like it since.
No.
I know he's only a kid, so let's be mindful of that, but it's a high investment for the Gold Coast Suns, and he has gone... He hasn't improved as a footy player.
No, he's gone backwards. I think he's actually gone backwards. I think they've been trying to teach him to play a different way, and maybe somewhere in his own mind, in his own feeling and preparation, he's trying to do all the defensive stuff, and then all the stuff that makes him a great player is exciting, instinctive play. Maybe that's just sort of left him too much, and maybe he needs to get back to a little bit of that, or maybe he needs to get himself fitter so that he can push up into the midfield too. So that's a tough spot.
Been doing the defensive stuff.
Well, maybe not enough, Gary, but those positions, those set positions as those small forward, they're really tough to play. Really, really tough to play. So he has to develop that engine. He's got to prove to them that, you know, you can push me up into the play a bit higher.
What about what we always say?
What's that?
Throw him to halfback.
Well, you know, I guess
beautiful ball user.
Yeah, creative. No, you could do all that, and that may be the rebirth of him too next season. But I think that's sort of like for them, it's probably a last resort because he has all this other talent, this match winning, game winning type talent.
I wouldn't throw in a halfback trying to turn him into a halfback, but from a confidence point of view, just to go back and find he would. I doubt very much whether he would have had more than 15 possessions in a game. Now, he could go back there and get 15 and a quarter. And that just can sometimes just be a little change. And then I could be accused of saying, you're trying to make it too easy for... Well, sometimes you've got to. Sometimes you've got to give them a cheap kick. Teach them how to get a cheap possession here and there.
Not only that, you've got to build... The thing that we often overlook is that players lose confidence in their... Like, we all think they're all confident young kids that come into the game, and most of them probably are when they start, but then they take a couple of hits and they can lose their confidence really quickly. So I think it's a matter of him losing confidence in his own ability too.
The 7-seat Kia Sorento has just been crowned Drive Car of the Year. We'll be back with more after this.
The country is back racing strong. Book now at country.racing.com. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Fun Friday it is. It's 33rd July. Jace Richardson's going to join us. Riley O'Brien, always good fun, Riley, when he joins us. And Ryan Pappenhausen, he's just signed a new deal with the Melbourne Storm. He's going to speak to us in about 10 minutes' time.
He got the bag. Hey, Gary, how would you be feeling right now if you were Joe Ingles and you're over there in Japan and you're doing your best for your country? You play for the Utah Jazz in the NBA, and somebody just sends you a tweet to say that the Utah Jazz are making you available in trade talks.
Oh, well,
you'd just be used to that, wouldn't you? Would you not in the NBA? That's what happens.
Is that a big shock, by the way? Nothing is a shock in the basketball.
I don't think anything is a shock, but it's like, you know, he's a really, really popular player. He's had a good season, probably not a great season, but he's had a really good season for them. One of their best three-point shooters, very popular with the fans, very popular with his other team members, and apparently they're now making him available in trade talks with other teams in the NBA.
That's him and Ben Simmons. Mm. And the draft's on today. It's at 10 o'clock. The Volcano will be all over it. Make no mistake about that. Josh Giddey, our man, we hope to see him go somewhere in the top 10, which gives him a $5 million payday.
That's a nice bag to start your career with, isn't it?
Nice bag. Nathan's in Craigieburn. Go, Nath.
Good morning, guys. I want to get your opinion on while the trade period's around the corner. I'm a St Kilda fan. I want to get your opinion on it. In the trade period, if St Kilda target three key players at the moment, which is Peter Laddams to replace Ryder, even if Ryder goes extra year, just to have him replaced with Rob Marshall would be a good, great combo. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Constable and Josh Kelly, and offload either Billings or Ross. Nothing against Ross, but don't get offended, Watson.
My name's Tim, Nathan.
Well, we spoke about Constable the other day. We think he's going to be worthy of a go. I am wondering whether he's got a bit of Jared Lyons about him. Laddams would be a good get for any team, but I think Kenny loves Peter Laddams. I think he loves what he brings to the table over there. And Josh Kelly, well, he's got a massive offer on the table from the GWS Giants that he's only got to say yes to, and he can stay. And I would imagine North Melbourne are into him. I don't know. All those players would be great for you, Nate. That's the short answer, whether or not you'd be able to get them.
They must be almost up to pussy's butt. I know he's talking about dropping a couple of other contracts in Billings and Seb, but They must be pretty tight on their salary cap, the Saints, with all the recruiting they've done over the last couple of seasons, you would think. Their side looks a lot better on paper tonight too, doesn't it, with Higgins coming back into that side, Marshall coming back into that side, Highmore coming back into that side.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward. I know we're enamoured with the Olympics, but this is a big game tonight. It's got so much riding on it tonight. This is a no-excuse Friday night game, Wisp. One of those two teams is going to wake, although we've said this about Carlton a lot, but there's no excuse. They wake up on Saturday morning and they'll only have themselves to blame.
That's true. It's and, you know, they've got, off the back of a really poor performance too, you talk about sides that, you know, fire up the following week. After all the criticism, I heard Jacob Whiting. He's fantastic, Jacob Whiting. Does that spot with Jerry Waite.
He's 53 years old, Jay. sounds so
he's
mature.
So measured and mature, and he talked about his own performance, how disappointed he was last week against North Melbourne. So you'd expect that, you know, there's going to be a great return to form for him in that performance.
Spoke to Eddie Betts on Tuesday night. He said it was a brutal review. It was embarrassing. Supporters should be embarrassed of what they put forward. So generally when that happens, you get a response. But we've said that a few times about the Blues.
We have. Interim Pies coach Rob Harvey. He hasn't ruled himself out of taking a shot at the job long term. This is what he had to say yesterday. I'll get your response.
I have ongoing conversations with Graham Wright around that situation. So at the moment, I'm just doing my job, really enjoying it, see what happens, and I'm just doing it to the best of my ability right now. And I just haven't even gone there, to be honest. I've been really happy with the communication around all this so far. I understand, you know, there's a bit of urgency around it. From my point of view, the information that I get will come at the right time for me, and we'll have those conversations at the right time.
He appears from the outside to be doing all the right things for the club, playing a lot of kids, young, inexperienced players, that type of thing, and coaching for the future. Did you think, or do you think, the only way that he was going to be able to secure this job was really to force Collingwood into a corner because of weighted performance wins versus losses?
No, I didn't think that. And you're right. I think he's doing exactly the right thing. He's 7 players, 10 games or under on the weekend. There might have been 10, 50 or under. 9 debutants for the year. He's going to keep feeding them through. So I think Harves is doing a fantastic, or playing a fantastic role for the Collingwood Footy Club. He doesn't need to apply for that job. He's been there for, how long has he been there? 6, 7 years. They know his capabilities. They're watching him now as a senior coach. If they want him to put his hand up, they'll come and bang the door down and say, listen, Rob, we have watched you for a long time now as an assistant. We've seen you in the chair. Come in here and go as hard as you can for this senior job.
I agree with you, but as a caretaker type coach, and we've seen this in the past, it really is about the emotion that you provide in the time that you're there and the win-loss record that you can produce. You go back to Reece Shaw when he was at North Melbourne. There was a bit of a change that came about with him.
Didn't work.
And then David The decision to give them the job didn't work, but I'm talking about you getting in there as a caretaker coach and making it really difficult for that club not then to go with you as the coach.
Yeah, but there's a cautionary tale amongst all
No,
of
no,
that.
I understand that. Yeah,
so
no, I understand
that's why I think that makes it even harder for Rob, because once the senior coach goes, and in this case such a big charismatic figure as Buckley, then there's just a collective sigh. And I've watched Collingwood play. I've watched them play with some freedom against Carlton particularly. We watched the first quarter and a half, and you just go, have a look at this. They were everything that Collingwood weren't under Nathan Buckley. They were attacking. They were through the middle. They were taking the game on. And then when the resistance came, it dropped away pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So that's where they're at. So you're on a bit of a – well, I think it's going to be hard for Rob, but I do love what he's doing at the Collingwood Footy Club. I think he's doing the exact right thing. And, as I said, they know him – they know him better than any of the potential candidates. So if they want him, they just tap him on the shoulder and say, righto, come in and put your best foot forward.
Is Asava Radigalea, is he playing for his position in the team over the next couple of weeks before Jeremy Cameron gets back?
He's been assured of his position over the next couple of weeks by Chris Scott. So he's got the opportunity. And his last 2 weeks have been absolutely sensational. So he's doing the right thing as well. It's making it harder for everyone down at and Geelong, and Chris Scott said it's a good problem to have.
Yes, but Jeremy Cameron's going to come back into that team.
Yeah, I know, 100%.
So when he comes back, somebody goes out.
Yeah, so it might be Stanley that's nervous.
Right, but then I think the problem then is they've got to work out who's the better ruckman. That's still going to be their problem. It's still going to be their problem going into the last month.
It's not a problem for them in terms of that. As I said many times, I always ask Chris Scott about the ruckman, and he always looks at me as if I'm an idiot and goes, well, we're not that worried about it.
Well,
they're clearance numbers on the weekend. They kicked 7 goals to none against, who'd they play on the weekend? Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
7 goals to none from stoppage at the weekend. He turned around and said, what's my problem?
Yeah, on that game, yeah. They don't have to worry about it.
We're going to take a break, get some news headlines. We'll discuss further after this. We'll be listening 100%. We will be. Hey, if Josh Giddey goes in the top 10, this is from a text message, so I assume this is right. Technically, it's a $10 million payday. It's a 2-year deal at $7 million US over the 2 years. So if you're poor, you still earn the 2 years worth. 23rd pick is still $4 million US over 2 years. So big payday coming up.
Yeah, it is. And I've just been looking at all the various pundits over there with their predictions, and he might go as high. I think the highest I've seen anyone place him is about 7 or 8 in the draft. But they do really like him. He's just a young kid. They know that he's got an enormous upside. He's been playing against men as well. Can I ask this question about Toby Green? Okay, he's back in the team. He's been in lockdown for 2 weeks.
You've been writing him letters?
No, I haven't. I've kept away from him. Chamomile tea has a real calming effect on people, right? He's been in lockdown for 2. How many cups of chamomile tea do you think he should drink before he plays at the weekend?
None. Just wind him up and let him go.
How wound up is he going to be?
Jeez.
Hey?
Who do they play, the Giants? They play the Port Adelaide Footy Club. That's a big game as well.
On Port, though, there's a... The timing is everything in this game, okay? And sometimes it's by design and sometimes it's just by luck, right? So they got Fantasia comes back into that side this weekend for the Giants. Mm-hmm. Last week they had Rosie, Dersma and Butters playing together for the first time in a long time. Is it now starting to look like something a little bit more special than what it did with all those players available?
Again, like we called tonight a no-excuse game. They'll have no excuses. I mean, they still haven't got the big scalps that they're after. So their interchange bench at the moment's got Fantasia on it, Laddams on it, Todd Marshall on it, Mays on it. So they're nicely full. They're not too many that are out at the moment. So that's all you want. If you're barracking for a team, what you want is your team to have access to your best available talent, and then if you're good enough, you're good enough.
Fair enough. Fair enough, Gary. Beautifully said.
You sound disappointed with that summation.
Well, maybe. Why did Geelong go so hard after... I just asked you this question, okay? Why did they go so hard after Goldstein and then Darcy as well, then, if they're happy with their ruckman and their ruck situation? Just a question.
It's a good question. Next time, if I ask Chris Scott one more time about it, he might bop me. So you ask him.
Well, it sounds
time.
Like you're a little bit afraid of Chris Scott when you have these conversations.
No, I really
You don't normally back down that quickly.
I love having a chat with Chris Scott. But every time I say, now, about the ruck, he gets this look in his eye, like a half-back flanker's look. But we will find out, won't we? It's not our problem. It's a nice problem for them to have.
I'll tell you who hasn't got any problems. Ryan Pappenhausen hasn't got any problems at the moment.
He's going to do his first interview since he signed the bag. What do you call it? What did you say? He got the bag.